We're on Daf Chavav Amid Beis, about 15 lines down. V'yomer Rava Ra Selash and Nafla. But before we start the new sugya, just a few comments to be mashlim to complete what we started in the last shiur, but we didn't get a chance to finish. Rava was speaking about a case where we'll call someone Yehuda. And Yehuda knows that one of three people, Reuven, Shimon, or Levi, lost this sela in an inn, or wherever they were together. And we said in that case that certainly there's Yeush. Rava makes the following distinction. He says, well, you know what, maybe these three people are Shutfim, and one of them lost his sela, and he relies on the other two shutfim, and he trusts them that they'll return the selah. So let's say it was Levi who lost the selah. So he's going to rely that either Reuven will return him the selah, Shimon will return him the selah. And even though at this point, Levi is holding out for hope, despite the fact that Reuven has not returned the selah, Shimon has not returned the selah, but nevertheless he thinks that on a temporary basis, they're holding on to his selah, but they'll eventually return him. He has faith. And therefore, Yehuda, who found the selah, is chayev in Hashava. There was no yesh. According to Rava, this only applies in a case where the money that was found, if we divide it up three ways, each one of the shutfim has a shava pruta. Then, and only then, according to Rava, does Yehuda have a chiyuv hashava, and Rashi explains the mimonavshach. Rashi says, Dira maschil emar shutfin inhu besela zu, it's about 10 lines down from the top, v'nemonim zel zeh. V'ein echad choshir es chaveru bechelkol hachi mishmeish bekiso v'lo motzo v'lo es yaish. Even though he's aware of the fact that he's lost the selah, nevertheless, he's not misyaish. Meimor omar echad min ashutfim motzo u'litzarenu, litzari, litzareni, who shoseik, he's trying to needle me, but he'll come around and he'll give up the coin. V'nimtza, and therefore comes out that kishabas liyad zeh, when Yehuda picks up this coin, is lifnei yeush bas liyado. Meaning, even if down the line Levi, the one who owns the seller and can't find it, will be misyaish, he'll finally give up hope because so much time went by and Reuven and Shimon have not yet come forward to cough up the selah and return it, Reuven or Shimon, depending on who's holding on to it. So there ultimately will be a yesh, but Rashi says that at the point in which Yehuda picked up the coin, there wasn't yesh. Because at that moment in time, Levi was holding out hope and expecting to get it back. And Rashi says, therefore, we can activate the principle of Abaye, Yeush Shelo Midas, Lo Havi Yeush, and therefore, we Rava in this case is Machayev Hashava. Obviously, the question is, although the Gemara does establish the halacha like Abaye in Yalkagam, meaning Yeush Shelo Midas, we pass in Lo Havi Yeush like Abaye, but nevertheless, here we're talking about Rava. Rava himself, back in the beginning of this perek, holds that Yeush Shelo Midas Havi Yeush. And perhaps we're talking about, as the Tosa Rosh points out here, a Dover Sheyesh Bo Simon. And Rava admits that in a Dover Sheyesh Bo Simon, Yeush Shelo Midas lo havi yesh, because we're not anticipating his yesh down the line if there's a simon. The Rosh gives an example of a simon on Mos when it's tsruros. They're all tied up in a certain way in a bundle. But all this, says Rav, only applies when we can divide up the selah into three prutos. Again, a selah is obviously more than three prutos, but a selah is symbolic of a coin. And that coin divides up in such a way that each one of these three individuals, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, has respectively a prutas worth. So Rashi continues. He says, Aval ki ein bo shalosh prutos, if there's not a minimum of three prutos, mi manafshach, Rashi says, ish shutfin hein bo ein kan mishum ha-shav saveda. If they're equal partners, no one owns a shava prutas worth, then there's no chiv ha-shav saveda. And we'll come back and discuss this in just a minute. But then he says, v'im shel echad mehem hu, o shel hashnayim, and what if the shutvis is limited to two of them, let's say. For example, perhaps the third shutv backed out, or maybe there are only two who are shutvim. Or for example, let's say this seller only belongs to one of them, because again, Yud has to be open to all possibilities. When he wants to pocket this seller, because he found it, he's got to think, what are the possibilities? So you're going to tell me that if, let's say there's no shutfis here, and the seller is exclusively owned by Levi, then for sure there's going to be Yeish. And immediately after Levi lost the coin, he's been mashish because he realizes he lost it, he's going to give up hope. He has no way of getting it out of Reuven and Shimon. Now, if on the other hand, this seller, which is less than three prutos, is owned in shutvis by, shall we say, Levi and Shimon, then there's not going to be a way that Levi hopes to get back his seller. Wouldn't he, on the one hand, rely on his shutuf, on, let's say, Shimon, to go in cahoots after Reuven? You know, let's say, let's attack Reuven, he's the one who holds it. Since Levi trusts Shimon, because he's his shutuf, the two of them together will press, will use whatever pressure methods they have to press Reuven to fork over the seller. And the answer is that even though they don't, they're not suspicious one of the other, meaning Shimon is not suspicious of Levi, Levi of Shimon, because they're shutfim, nevertheless, they're not going to come and claim against Shlishi with what we call a tainis bori, because each one has a bit of a chash that maybe his friend the shutta found the matbea, and he's holding on to it for a certain period of time, as we said before, in order to needle him. They still don't have, together as a joint effort, a tainas bari against Reuven. As we discussed in the last shiur, the only pressure tactic they can have against the one member of the group who is, or probably is, the one who's holding on to this money, is predicated on the premise of a tainas bari. And perhaps we could also add that it's logical, says Tosfos Dei Ramaskel Lo, that the three of them are shutvim, since they are together, you know, if they're in a hotel room together, you know, as roommates or whatever it might be, and none of them have, no single one of them has a shavaput. So mimanavshach, if the selah, in quotation marks, that was found is less than three prutas worth, then it's hare elu shalom. Now, the premise of this sugya is clearly that there's only a chiyuv hashava if there is a shava pruta for the baal ha-aveda. And that's a bit of a problem, because we have a sugya in Bava Kamma about a case of somebody who was the victim of a theft, and when the gazlan was identified, the nigzal was willing to be mochel the gazlan on X amount of money that was stolen, but not on a pachos mishava pruta. That's what he wasn't mochel on. And the question is whether or not in such a case the nigzal could be tovea less than a shava pruta from the gazlan. And the Gemara establishes there that although the gazlan doesn't have to actively be mekayim the mitzvah veheishev sagzela on pachos mishava pruta, but nevertheless, if the nigzal comes to collect and demand payment on the pachas mishav pruta from the gazlan, then the gazlan will have to return the pachas mishav pruta. So if we understand it very well, there is a chiyuv hashava on the pachas mishav pruta on the part of the gazlan, even though normally we assume there's mechila on pachas mishav pruta. Here was a case where there was a mechila on X amount of money, which was more than a pruta, and that mechila is chal, but it's only chal as far as the mechila goes. There was only mechila on, let's say, if there were, if there were 10 coins equal to five prutos, and he was mochel on 9 out of the 10, so there's a last coin that's worth a half of a pruta, on that he wasn't mochel. And therefore he has a right, the nigzal, to get back that half of pruta. So the one who asks this kasha is the Machne Ephraim, the famous Machne Ephraim. And he compares that sugya in Bava Kama to our sugya here in Bava Metzia. And in his presentation of the question, he refers to the sugya later on, in which the Tanakhama darshins the pasuk in the parish of Hashavas Aveda and Kitetze. It says Asher Tovad, and then it says Umitzasa Aveda Sheshova Pruta Yeshalav Chovas Hashava Asher Tovad Umitzasa is the Xeris HaKosuv, from which we derive that the Chiyuv Hashava applies only in a Pachas Mishava Pruta. And if we take that back to the case in Bava Kama of Gzela, that's why the Gazlan himself is not obligated actively to go and seek out the Nigzal in order to pay him and return the theft that's worth less than the Shavuot on which there was no Mechila, because the Chiyuv Hashava doesn't apply in the case of a Pachas Mishava Pruta. But, says the Machne Ephraim, that's his chiddush, it doesn't mean that the gazlan could keep the pachas mishav pruta for himself. He's not the proud owner of that pachas mishav pruta. And therefore, though he's not chayv an hashava, when the nigzal comes back and demands that pachas mishav pruta, he has a right to take it. Mamoni gabach, you're holding on to my pachas mishav pruta. Oh. If that be the case, then let's shed a light here on our sugya. Our sugi is talking about a mitzius, a situation in which Levi will eventually be misyayish. True, Yehuda picked it up before Yeish. That's when he found this seller. At that point in time, when he picked it up, Levi was not yet misyayish. And now we have the question of whether or not Levi's ultimate Yeish, that becomes a reality after, subsequent to Yehuda's picking up this selah, would that yesh be meaningful? Would it be operative? And we come up with Abayi's principle of yesh lo midas lo aviyesh. In this case, we said in the name of the Tosa Rosh, even Rav would agree that lo aviyesh. And what that means is called be surah asil yod at the beginning of our perek, which means that the chiyuv hashava is engendered, and it prevents the yesh from being chal. When you, the finder, in this case Yehuda, pick up the aveda, the lost object, at that point there is no way that yesh could be chal. Never, ever, ever, because you picked it up with a chiyuv hashava. Yesh can't be chal once the motzeis aveda is a shomer. He has the chiyuv of yasaftel tov beisecha to protect and guard this object. However, here, that as far as the Bailim is concerned, let's say Shimon lost this Sela, Levi lost this Sela, it's less than a Shavapruta, then in such a case, when Yehuda picks up this sela, there's no Bailim who could claim you, Yehuda, the fine, have a Chiyuv HaShava. There is no Chiyuv HaShava on Pops Mishava Pruta. And that we've derived from the Pasuka Shetovid Menu Umitzasa. And therefore, if there's no Chiyuv HaShava, the entire mechanism of Bisura Asliyoda does not go into effect. And therefore, Yeish Shalomidas, in this case, even according to Abai, have Yeish. Because what prevents the Yeish from ultimately down the line being Chal? It's the fact that there was a Chiyuv HaShava that was Chal before the Yeish. But here, there was never a Chiyuv HaShava that was Chal before the Yeish. And it's interesting that the final conclusion of the Machne Ephraim is that Yehuda, in this case, is not chayev in hashava. If you take a look in the language of Rava, it says Haydi Amrit Bishlosha Eino chayev lahachzir. The whole discussion here is about a chiyuv hashava. There's no chiyuv hashava and paks mishava prut. It doesn't mean that Yehuda can pocket this money that he found, and that's an interesting part of the Machne Ephraim that has to be taken under advisement. Okay, let's start the new sugya for today, which is Amar Rava Ra Sela. And in this sugya, Rava wants to address three different dimensions of the parasha of Hashavas Aveda. There's an essay of Hashavas Aveda, the Torah says Hashav Teshivim. There's a los aseh in general of pocketing someone else's money, that's los sigzol. And then there's a los aseh that's local to the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Torah says, Lo sireh shara chicha o es seo nidachin v'salamta mehem. Hashiv teshevam lechicha v'chein tasel chal avein sachir shetovev mimenu mitzasa lo suchal lis'alem. The person who sees an Aveda is enjoined from looking the other way, and that's called lo suchal lis'alem. The Torah says you have to pay attention to this Aveda. Don't ignore it, but pick it up and be mekayim the mitzvah of Hashava. So if he looks the other way and he lets the object go by without picking it up to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashiv Teshiva, he violates the law of Losucha L'Salem. If he picks up this Aveda, he's chayav in Hashava. So in addition to Losucha L'Salem, there's also Hashiv Teshiva. And then, of course, in a case where a person takes the Aveda and he's not interested in returning it, he wants to take it for himself and pocketed, he violates in addition the law of lo sigzol. And Ruff wants to analyze these three, the essay and the two losases. And he says the following. The Omar Ruff, there's a great deal of discussion here in the Rishonim about whether the Girs is Omar Ruffa or Omar Rabba. Because as we'll see, the Ramban points out that you cannot accept Omar Ruffa because our case is a case of Yeish Shalomidas, and the premise here that Rav is going to work with is that Yeish Shalomidas have a Yeish, and that's Abayish Shita, so therefore the Girs has to be Rabba. The Rashba, on the other hand, is going to accept the Girs as we have it in Rava, and he's going to be make him, his Ukimt is that this Sugya is talking about is something that is not a Dovra Omeid Liyeush, not something that we anticipate that the Bailim will be Messiahish in order to apply the principle of Rav of Yeish Shalomidas Havi Yeish, but rather it's a Mokom She'ena Dovra Omeid Lisyayish, and therefore there's no Yeish Shalomidas Havi Yeish. According to the Ritva, this Sugya that we're about to embark upon is talking about a Sela, a coin that in fact does have a simon, which is a coin, a sela that's munach bekis, and since the kis, the purse that's holding on to this money, has a simon, Rav in this case would be moda that simon is kolel, not only the kis, but also the mos, the sela in the kis, and therefore it's a double shesh bo simon, and yeish lomidas lo aviyeish, even according to Rava. So is where, whereas the Ramban assumes that we have to change the girsa and it's Omer Rabba, the Rashba and the Ritva want to justify our girsa and assume that we're dealing with a scenario in which even Rava would agree that it's Yeish, that Yeish Shalomidas Lo Havi Yeish. Ra'as Sela Shenofla, he sees a person who drops a Sela, and Nitola or Nutla Lifnei Yeush, he picks it up before Yeush, and it's immediately after the fall he picks it up, which means that the Bialim didn't even have a chance yet to, you know, to check their pockets and realize that they lost an Aveda. So this is a case where ultimately the Bialim will be Misyash, but at the time that the Sela fell and you found it, there was not yet Yeush. And then he picks it up Al Menas LeGozla. His intention is, we'll call him Shimon, to pocket this Sela Over Bekulan. He violates all the prohibitions here. You can check off all three boxes here. He's in violation number one of Mishum Lo Sigzol. Why does he violate Gzela? Because he's intending to steal something that belongs to Reuven, the Bialim, the one who lost it, because so far, at least at this point, there hasn't been Yeush, that's for sure, because he found it immediately after the fall, after the loss. And since it's before Yeush, it's considered as if it's still Bershus Bialim. And the reason I emphasize this is because the paradigm pasuk in the Torah, in Tanakh actually, for Gzela is Vayigzel Sachanis Miana Mitzri. That's the source for Gzela at the end of Bava Kama. And here it's not a Gzela Miyad HaMitzri, meaning he didn't take it out of the hands, Shimon didn't take it out of the hands of Reuven, and therefore there's no Gzela ostensibly. The answer is that it is considered the hands of Reuven, because before Yeush, the object is considered to be in the reshus of the Bialim, and it's as if Shimon took it out of the pocket of Reuven, and therefore there's a violation of Gzela. Umishum Hashiv Teshivim. Clearly, Shimon has violated Hashiv Teshivim because he took it without any intention of returning it. And not only that, Lo Sucha L'Salim. And he violates Lo Sucha L'Salim here as well, because again, he took it in order to pocket it and not without any intention of returning it. That's Chiddush number one of Rava, and that's pretty simple. In this case, he picks up somebody else's object with the intention of taking it for himself. Instead of returning it, he violates the essay and losas of Hashavas HaAveda, and at the same time, he violates Gzela. However, here's the Chiddush of Rava. Rava says, V'afal gav dechazra li'achar yesh. Imagine if Shimon has a change of heart. You know, he does tshuva. Now he wants to return this object to its rightful owner, who he recognizes, who he can identify. But Yeish has already taken place, because in that interim period, Reuven figured out that he's missing this coin, and he gave up hope on it. Again, you have to figure out, according to the Rashba, and the Ramban, excuse me, the Rashba and the Ritva, exactly why he was Misyayish. After all, it's a Davar She'eino Omed Liyayish. But maybe a certain period of time goes by, and lo and behold, no one's announcing this Aveda, and he gives up hope, even if it's a Davar She'eish Bo Siman, and that Yayish should be Chal. Now, Shimon has a change of heart. After Yayish, he wants to return the object to its rightful owner. And Rava says, Matanahu diyovle, it's very nice that he's giving a gift to Reuven, but Visura di Avad Avad. He cannot rectify neither the Chi of Gzela, nor the Chi of Hashem Saveda, nor the Lav Lo Sucha L'Salim. And the Rashba says that according to one Girsa, which is the Girsa of the Ravid, it's Afal Pi de Ahadre Liachar Yesh Matanavi Almuhu de Koyov Levi Sur de Ovid Ovad. Even though he returned it after Yesh, it's a Matana. And the reason for this says the Rashba, is because there is no fulfillment of Hashavas HaGzela, and why not? After all, Hashavas HaGzela, the Lav Lo Sigzal is a Lav Hanitekli essay of Hashavas HaGzela Shagaz, and the answer is because he's returning it after Yeush. And you cannot be Metaki in the Lav after Yeush, because you were because both in the case of Gzela and in the case of Aveda, he, the finder, the taker, has acquired ownership over the object through Yeush, right? Gzela is nicknames be Yeush, and in Aveda is nicknames be Yeush. At this point, he's not returning the object that belongs to the Nixal. Veshev is like Gzela Shagazal means to return it to him because he owns it, meaning the Nixal is the proud owner of it. Here the Nixal has already forfeited his bailus through Yeush. Tosus, if you see Dira Maso Matana, assumes that since the Gemara, in this case in Chulin, classifies the Lav of Gzela as a Lav Anitek L'Essay, then you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas HaGzela even after Yeush. And we mentioned that the Rashba quotes the Ravid with a different girsa, and according to the girsas HaRavid, it's not clear from the text of the Gemara that in fact, according to Rava, there's no possibility of bimisakein the Lav of Gzela. But rather, as far as the Lav of Gzela, Enoch Hinami, he could be Mekayim Hashava even after Yeush, and be Mekayim the mitzvah Hashavas HaGzela, but rather the inability, the impossibility of Shimon, of the finder, to fix up what he violated is only with regard to Hashav, to Shivaim, or at least to the Lav Lo Sucha L'Salim. As far as the Chiv of Hashiv to Shivim is concerned, Tosus insists that even with regard to Aveda, he can fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas HaVeda. But what Rav wants to point out when he calls it a Matana is that he cannot fix up the Lav Lo Sucha L'Salim. The Lav Lo Sucha L'Salim is generated by the Halama, the fact that he ignores this Aveda when he sees it found, when he sees it lost, and that in fact is an irreversible Lav which he violated. The Ramban, on the other hand, is of the opinion that even as far as the Isur Gzela and the Chiyuv Hashavas HaVeda, he cannot fix it up, despite the fact that the Lav of Lo Sigzal is a Lav Hanitakli Essay. But here we're talking, as we said earlier, after Yeush, and after Yeush, the Motzi, the finder, has a complete Kinyan. And the essay of Hashavas HaVeda of Hashiv Teshiva no longer applies. And even though, says the Ramban, I admit that as far as Gzela is concerned, the mitzvah of Hashavas HaGzela normally, generally, would apply even after the Nigzal was Mesiyash. But here, since the Heft is a Heft Avud, and B'Torah HaVeda Yeush is Kone, on behalf of the Motzi, therefore, once he was Kona Midin Yeush and Aveda, there's no longer a Hashavas HaGzela possible, because he, the Motzi, who's also a Gazan at the same time, has full ownership on it. In other words, although in general Yeush is not Chal in a case where a person finds an Aveda before Yeush, and that's called Yeush Lo Midas Lo Avi Yeush, and here even Rav would agree, as we pointed out before, but here, when he picked it up in order to steal it, his intention, Shimon, when he picked up and found this lost object, was to keep it for himself. At that moment in time, Yeush Shelo Midas Avi Yeush. Why? Because there was never a Chiyuv Hashava. Chiyuv Hashava is Chal when a person picks up an object for the express purpose of returning it. Here, where he picked it up with the intention of stealing it, the Chiyuv Hashava does not emerge through this Netila, and the Shomer, the Motzi, is not a Shomer who's holding on to the object on behalf of the person who lost it, and therefore Yeush could be Chal. And once Yeush is Chal, the Motzi has a complete total kinyan on the object, and there's no Hashavas HaVeda, says the Ramban, if so facto, there's no Hashavas HaGzela as well. So that's case number one of Rava. Case number two of Rava is Natla Lifnei Yeush Al Menas Lachzira. He finds this Sela before Yeush took place, and it's immediately after the fall, after the Sela fell out of the pocket of Reuven. And Shimon's mindset at that point was Al Menas Lachzira. He had a good intention to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. In such a case, obviously he's chayav in Hashavas Hagzela. Uli Acher Yeush Niskavin Lagozla. Time goes by. We give enough period of a time to elapse in which Reuven is Memashmesh Bekiso. He becomes aware of the fact that he lost the Sela and he's Misyaish. And at this moment in time, after Yeush, Shimon, the finder, decides, you know, I'm changing my mind. Here, instead of doing tshuva, he goes the opposite direction. He makes himself into a gazlan and he wants to steal the object. Says Rava, Over Mishum Hashev Teshivim. In this case, since at the moment that he picked it up, Shimon was Mischayev in the midst of Hashavas Aved, if he decides to keep it himself, he has violated the mitzvah of Hashev Teshivim. However, he doesn't violate the Isur of Gzela, says Rava. And why is that? Because Gzela is only violated in a case of Notla Almanas Ligzal. Here, B'Shas Netilu, when he picked it up, he had in mind to return it. Then he changed his mind. He wanted to take it for himself. In such a case, it's not similar to Vayikach Esachanis Miyad HaMitzri. Let's read Rashi over Mishum Hashiv Teshivim Lo Sigzol Lo Shayach. Rashi says there's no possibility according to Rava violating Lo Sigzol Ela B'Shas Netila. Only if B'Shas Netila he violates the Iser of Gzel, but here B'Shas Netila clearly he didn't have any intention to steal. He doesn't violate Gzel. Kemo Vayigzol Sachanes Miyad HaMitzri. And Rashi invokes the sugya towards the end of Masechta Bava Kamma. And before we go on to see why he doesn't violate the lav of Lo Sucha L'Salim, as Rashi explains, we want to mention Tosfos here, Divra Maskil Eino. Eino Over Elamishum Hoshev Teshivim. We don't have the word Ella in our Girsa, but that really, in a sense, clarifies the Gemara. Now, Tosus is of the opinion that if he decides to steal it after Yeush, he doesn't violate Lo Sigzol. But if he had Kavanah to steal it before Yeush, he violates Lo Sigzol. And the lav of Lo Sigzol is a lav dafka b'shas gzela, even li'achar sheba hadavra li'adav. So the case of Tosfos is where he picks up the object. Shimon picks up this find, and he intends to steal it. Yeush hasn't happened yet. And in such a case, even though he picked it up al menas l'hashiva, so there was no gzela at the time of the netila, but nevertheless, he had an immediate change of heart, before Reuven had a chance to find out about the loss of his sela, so it's before Yeush, Tosfos says he would violate the lav lo sigzol. The only reason why Rava says there's no violation of lo sigzol here in this case is because Li'acher Yeush Niskavin Lagozla. But if it was before Yeush Niskavin Lagozla, even if he was Notla Al Manas Lahashiva, but now he was Niskavin Lagozla, the object is already in his hand, so there's no Shas Natila. Rashi would insist in this case that there's no violation of Lav of Lo Sigzol. Rashi holds that there's only a violation of Lav Lo Sigzol if at the moment he picks it up, he had intention to steal it, then it's Vayikach. Then it's Vayigzol Eschanis Miyad HaMitzri. But here, if he had an intention to return it at the moment that he picked it up, and there's no Vayigzol Eschanis, there's no Maisik Zeila at the time of the Netila, even though he had an immediate change in of heart and he decided to pocket it before the Bailam was Misyayish, that's the sheet of Rashi, there's no Gzela. Tosus would say that very exact scenario, he violates the Lav of Lo Sigzol. And that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosus. Now, what about Lo Sucha L'Salim? There's no violation of the Sucha L'Salim. Rashi says, El L'Kovish is Eino V'Nimna Milahatz El Hilcho Hanotla Al Menas L'Hachzir. At the time that he picked it up, his intention, in this case number two of Rava, was to return it. Therefore, there's no lav, no violation of Lo Sucha L'Salim. And then, Li'achar Yeyush Niskavim L'Gozla Ein Kan Mis'Alim. Aval Hashiv Teshivim Iko V'Shenotla Ad she yeshivenu. So Rashi says this netila al menas lachzira generates a chiv of hashava which can never be alleviated until he actually returns it, and therefore if he decides to pocket it, he violates the essay of hashiv teshivim. However, since he picked it up with intention to return it, there's no netila of gzela, as we said before. And not only that, there's no lav of lo suchal lehisale. Now, the Ravid says in his Asogas on the Rif that if you read Rashi carefully, when Rashi explains why or when there's no lav of lo suchal lehisale, Rashi says li'achar yeush niskavim legozla. So getting back to the scenario of Tosfos, what happens if immediately after he picks it up, Almanas Lachzir, he has a change of heart and he decides to steal it and pocket it for himself? That was the case of Tosfos, and all this took place before Reuven is aware of the fact that he lost the object, so there's no Yeush. Rashi would assume in that case there would be a violation of Lo Sucha L'Salim. Rashi says because before Yeush there is halama, and that's why Rashi insists that Rava's case number two is li'achar yeish niskavim legozla. So the Rava disagrees and says that even if he has kavana to steal it after he picked it up lahashiva lachzira, but yeish has not yet taken place, is even such a case there's no violation of lo sucha l'salim against Rashi. Rashi says that the lo sucha l'salim is suspended here because it was Liachar Yeush when he decided to take it for himself, implying, Rashi, that if he decides to take it before Yeush, when there's still Chiv HaShava, therefore the Chiv HaShava engenders Lo Sucha L'Salim, the Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says that the violation of Lo Sucha L'Salim has to be at the moment of Netila. Here he took it into his house with the full intention of returning it. Therefore, there's no Lo Sucha L'Salim. And even if now he would change his mind and decide to pocket it for himself, and he has Kavanas Gzela, but it's before Yeush, there's no violation of Lo Sucha L'Salim. Lo Sucha L'Salim could not come into being after the object is in his possession. In other words, at the time that Shimon picked it up, he had full intention to return it. That already is mafkia lo sucha l'salim. Even though Yeush hasn't taken place, the object is in the reshus of the motzi, and there's no possibility of lo sucha l'salim, even if he decides to steal it. And even though the nigzal at this point is unaware of the loss, and he hasn't yet been misyayish. Why didn't the Gemara use the language of Eino over Ela Mishum Hashev Teshivim, which is perhaps Tosus's Girsa, but we don't have that Girsa. Our Girsa says over Mishum Hashev Teshivim, right? Before, if you go back to Rav in the first case, scenario number one, there he says, I'm sorry, in scenario number three, the next case, which we didn't read yet, it says, Eino over Ela Mishum, etc., Lo Sucha L'Salim. And the insight here of the Ritva is that here he violates the Chiv of Hashev Teshivim on an ongoing basis. From the moment that he decides to take it for himself, every second that he refuses to return it is a new violation of Hashiv Teshiveh in this particular case. And that's why the Gemara shied away, Rava shied away from using the language Eino Overel Mishum Hashiv Teshiveh, which would imply that at that very second that he decides to keep it for himself, he violates Hashiv Teshiveh on an ongoing basis. In the case of Lo Sucha L'Salim, which is going to be case number 3 in Rava, Eino Over Ela Mishum Lo Suchal L'Salim, because he violates Lo Sucha L'Salim once and only once. And that's a fascinating insight of the Ritva in Lomdus, that the Chiv Hashav is an ongoing Chiv which he violates every second. Fine. Let's get the third case of Rava, Himtin La. In other words, when he saw the Aveda, he decides, let's hold up. Let's hold off a little bit. Let's not take it immediately. I know where it is. And he delays picking it up. Ashen is Yashua Bailam. He waits that period of time until Ruvain, the loser, will check his pockets, and certainly he'll be Misyaish. Vinotla. Again, it might be longer than that period of time that he has to wait, because, again, initially, since the Dovr Sheish Bo Simon, according to the Rashba and the Ritva, he's not going to be Messiah immediately. You know, he'll maybe wait 3 Regalim, I don't know how long. But in any event, the finder now waits patiently until this period of time passes. Yeush is now an assumption, a premise. And then Vinotla, then he takes it for himself. Is Eino Over Ela Mishum Lo Sucha L'Salim Bilvat. At this point, since he only picks it up after Yeush, there's no Chiv of Hashiv Teshiveh, so he doesn't violate Hashiv Teshiveh. And Yeush, we said, was Kone completely in Aveda, therefore there's no Bailus here on the part of Ruvain when Shimon actually picks up the object, so therefore there's no Gzela here, no Lav of those things. So there's only a violation of Halama insofar as at the moment that he, Ruvain, Shimon, knows, he's aware, he's cognizant of the Aveda, he decides he's not taking it and fulfilling his obligation of Hashavas Aveda, which again, Hashavas Aveda hasn't yet emerged because he didn't take it, but Halom applies even before he takes it, and therefore he violates the Lav of Lo Suchal L'Salim. And again, if you take a look at the language of Rava here, he says, Bilvad. Here he emphasizes the word Bilvad. And the reason for this is he wants to tell us that as far as Hashiv Teshiveh, he has not violated the Isur of Hashiv Teshiveh because he didn't pick it up before Yeush. Earlier in Rava's frame of reference, in the case of Netila al Manaslach Zero Liachar Yeush Niskami Legozla, he violates Hashiv Teshiveh, and there's no additional emphasis of Bilvad to exclude Lo Sucha L'Salim. And the reason there is because there's no possibility of Lo Sucha L'Salim since he picked it up Al Manas Le Hachzira. Lo Sucha L'Salim is not Shayach. In case number 2 of Rava, where he only had Kavanah to steal it after Yeush, that's not Halama because he picked it up with full intention to return it, and therefore Rava didn't need the word Bilvad in such a case. Now Tosus HaRosh here analyzes the reason why in case number 3, where he waits to pick it up until after Yeush, he doesn't violate the Lav, the essay I should say, of Hashev Teshivim. And the reason he says for that is because the pasuk says umitzasa, asher tov menu umitzasa, and umitzasa means after it comes into the reshus of the motzi. Before it comes into the reshus of the motzi, he's not chayev in hashava because of the word umitzasa. Now Rava has another statement. Omar Rava Haiman de Chazi de Nafal Zuzi Michavrei. If a person sees that his friend lost a coin in the sand. I mean, this is common, you know, on beaches. And the Ashkeche, he found it. He was able to, the Shimon was able to dig it up from the sand. Let's say he sifts the sand and he finds the coin. The Shaklin, he takes it for himself. Lo Machayev La Durile. The finder doesn't have to return it to its owner. My taima, Hahu de Nofel Mine Miyayeshu, Afal Gav de Chazia de Aise Arbala the Karmarbel. Now, what's happening here is that the Motzi sees that the Bailim takes up this, a similar object to the one that he, the finder, is using, that this Kavra, which is called in the Lashon of the Gemara of Arbala, right? And you'll see this even on the beaches today. You'll see there are young kids who go with these misaninim, you know, these sifters, to try to see if they can find a, you know, a lost coin. And in this case, Shimon realizes, it's right in front of his eyes, that Reuven is running around looking to find his coin. He's doing this process of sinun with his arbala. So he's really being mavakish. He's trying to find his lost object. Nevertheless, Shimon can assume that there's yesh, which is a very radical chiddush here. Abaye, I mean, Rava here in this case is describing the ma'abe, the bailam, as looking, actively looking for their object. Isn't that the greatest demonstration of the fact that he's not misyayish? So the Gemara says, Rabbi explains, the Meimar Omar, the finder could say to himself, and he probably will say it in his mind, Ki hechi de nofel minai di day, hochi nofel mina shachrin, umishkachana midi. What Reuven is hoping for when he goes and has sifted, it's not to find his own matbea that he lost, but he figures, just like I lost an aveda here in the sand, somebody else did, and I'm not going to find my aveda necessarily, but I'll find someone else's. And that itself indicates that on his aveda he is misyayish, and therefore Shimon picked it up after yeish, and therefore he can keep it for himself. Now again, we're talking about a case where coins fell into the sand. It's very hard to find coins. Let's say the object that was lost was a more substantial object, a chefetz gadol. Well, let's say, for example, Reuven had lost his coins on karka, where it's easier to find. In those cases, there would not be an assumption of yeish. And therefore, the motzi, if he picks it up before yeish, would have to return it because it's Isur El Dol Yodeh. He finds it before yeish, and yeish lo midas lo avi yeish. The Ritva points out, I'm sorry, that was the Ritva, but the Shita Mekubetzes points out that even if the Zuz has a simon on it, let's say, for example, it was lost inside some sort of a purse, nonetheless, it would be Harei Lo Shaloh, because since it's in the sand, it's considered avuda mimenu umikol adam. You remember the sugya of Zuto Shalyam that we discussed at the beginning of the parak, and it came up yesterday as well. And that is that if something is objectively lost down at the bottom of the sea, or for that matter in the sand, the Shita Mekubetz is of the opinion the sand is like the sea, and it's avuda mimenu mikol adam. And therefore, there is yeush even in a davar sheyesh bo siman. Now, the question is, when Rava gives this explanation that Reuven is putting out this great effort to look for an aveda, he's looking for someone else's aveda, how do we understand that? So I believe that this Shita Mekubetzes that we just mentioned sheds a light on that. We can understand on a psychological level, and that's a little bit difficult to say, that psychologically he's really holding out to find someone else's aveda, but he's given up hope on his aveda. I don't think we have to go with that. What we can say, according to the Shita, is that in the sand, right, in the Bechalasa, we are talking about Zuto Shalyam, halachically. And it's Avudu Mimenu Mikol Adam. And if that be the case, Bal Karcho, who's Misyayish. So what happens, and we discuss this at great length, in the case of Zuto Shalyam, where the owner is standing there, watching his lost object fall to the bottom of the sea, and he's yelling and screaming, "I'm not misyayish, I'm not misyayish." That's called batla daitzel kol adam. The yesh here is objective. It's objective yesh. It's irrelevant, regardless of what he, the ma'abid, is thinking or saying or claiming or screaming. It is objectively yesh. And that's what the Gemara means, that it's as if he's looking here through this sinun, you know, when he sifts through the sand with this masanein, with this arbala, he's looking for someone else's aveda. So if you go deep sea diving, after you lost the coin in the bottom of the sea, we're going to say you're looking for someone else's coin, not for your own. That's a matter of expression to transmit the idea, the message, that it's avud mimenu mikol adam. It's objective yesh. As we said many times, the shem avud is complete. The cheft is avud because it's lost in the sand. So again, I don't know that Rava is necessarily encouraging people to take up this, you know, this fach, this profession of sifting through sand. There are people, especially young people, who spend their lives looking for lost objects in the sand. Such a person, you know, when he makes his brach every morning, zokif kefufav, has to have extra kavana, because he's constantly looking on the ground. There are people who walk through the streets with their head face downwards. They're bent over because they're looking for someone, maybe lost an object, a small, maybe they'll find a ring on the ground, and that's how they spend their lives. And such people become kfufim, eingebogen, as we say in Yiddish, they become bent over. Okay, Rabbosai, now we can start the Mishnah here on the bottom of Chavov Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Matzah Bechanus, and here we're talking about a case of a davar she'ein bo simon, as Rashi says in the first Rashi on our Mishnah, and therefore the assumption is that if he lost something in a public area, in a store in this case, harei lo shaloh, he's misyayish. Tosus Dibra Maskel Afilu writes, umairi de'ikarov akum, he says that even if we assume it's a davar she'esh bo simon, but we paskin like Reb Shimon Elazar in an ir sheruba akum, and therefore the finder is going to assume that it was lost by a guy. So you find it in a store in a non-Jewish city, you can keep it for yourself because you assume, even if it has a siman, it was lost by a guy. Or alternatively, even if a Jew, even though the Jew found it, and he has reason to believe that it was lost by a Jew, nevertheless he's going to assume yeish because he thinks that the loser, the ma'avid, is not holding out with hope to get it back because it was probably picked up by a guy, even though in fact it was picked up by a Jew. And this is called Rabim Mitzuyim Sham in an ir sheruba akum, and then we certainly passing like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Now, Bein Hateva V'lechenvani, however, for what happens in the case where he finds the lost coin in a situation where there is no definite yeish? We'll see the exact description of this mitzius. For example, in Bein Teva Lechenvani, what happens? There's a chenvani, and he's got his duchan, you know, he's got his platform where he's selling things, and the mitzia was found in front of the chenvani. That's called bein teva lechenvani. What does this mean? It means the seller would sit in front of a teva, again, some sort of a duchan, as we said, some sort of counter. And when somebody came to buy something and he wanted to sell his merchandise, he would put his hand behind him, he would take the money he received, put it on the counter, on this teva. And therefore, anything that's found in between the counter and the chenvani was surely lost by the chenvani. And therefore, the Mishnah says, in this case, ishel chenvani, that we assume that it belongs to the chenvani. There is this space between the chenvani who's selling his merchandise and the counter. He would take the money from the buyer, and any money that we found, we can assume fell from the chenvani. Teva is behind the chenvani, and it has on it the skira that he's selling, and the money that he receives from the buyer he would put back into the teva, so that the teva is behind him, and any money that you find between him, the seller, and the teva, the counter behind him, that we assume was lost by the balachanus, who's called the chenvani, the seller. Now we have a case of a money changer. Lifnei shulchani, you found coins in front of a shulchani, harelu shalo, then you can keep it for yourself. And why is that different? Why if you find coins in front of the money changer, the finder is allowed to keep it? And the answer is because when they would exchange money, the shulchani would set up a table, that's chenvani b'loshen shulchan, and that would separate him and the customers who were coming to exchange money. And both the customer who's coming to exchange the money, as well as the shulchani who's coming to give him money in return, would place the money on this counter, correct? And if you found, or this table, whatever you want to call it, because again, table would be a better word, because shulchan is miloshen shulchan, as opposed to teva, which is more like a counter. But if you found money between the, if you found money lifnei shulchani, right? Why are you allowed to keep it for yourself? And the answer is because the money was lost by one of the various people who came to change the money. And Rashi explains, had the shulchani himself lost it, then it should have been found behind the table, meaning between him, the shulchani, and the shulchan. But now the money changer is open to the public. He has customers coming by all over the place who are putting money on the table, and one of them lost his money. There's no simon on the money, and therefore there's yeush. So if we take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, in the case of chenvani, when he finds a bein teva lechenvani, achenvani yoshev lefaneha, as we said before, the seller of the merchandise is sitting in front of the teva. The teva is behind him. V'tamid no tel mimeno. He takes the merchandise from the teva behind him. V'nosein lefanav u'mocher, and he sells it. U'mosh enosnel nosein leteva. So the teva plays a double function. On the one hand, it's where the merchandise is sitting, is stored, and at the same time, that's where he puts his money. So if you find the money behind the chenvani, you assume it was lost by the chenvani. But in the case of shulchani, Rashi says, machlif mos, he's a money changer, no sein matbeosav b'shulchan, shelefanav, here the shulchan is in front of him. And haboyim lahachlif, those people who are his clientele, lahachlif is af, hey, nosnim sham ma'oseim. They also use this table, and that's where they put the money on the shulchan. Harelu shalol, Rashi says, damrinan min aboyim noflu. That had it been lost by the shulchani, by the money changer, then hashulchan mafzik bein shulchani lemos shenimtzu. V'imin shulchani noflu hayolehem laham lehimotze beino lekisei shashulchan munach. Olav. So if the shulchani would have dropped these mos after have received them from one of his clients, then he would have lost it not on the table itself. He would have grabbed it, and that's when he makes his kinyan on it, and he would have dropped it between where he's sitting and the shulchan, in that area, that's the small area, but that's not where you found it, and therefore we assume it was lost by one of his clients, and since the Dov Hashem Bo Simon, there's an assumption of Yeish. So that's the case of Lifnei Shulchani. But in the next case, Bein Hakisei Lishulchani, in other words, there's a chair, or call it a stool, where the money changer sits, the Shulchani sits, and the money is taken by the Shulchani and he brings it towards himself. So if he finds it between the Kisei and the Shulchani, then we assume it belongs, Hareu Shel Shulchani, it was lost by the money changer. Finally, Halokeach Peros Michavero, if a person buys fruit or produce from his friend, Osheshilech Lo Chavero Peros, or his friend sent him some produce, Umatza Behen Mos, and inside the produce or amongst them he finds Mos, Hareu Shelo, he's allowed to pocket it. Imhoyutzrurim, however, if there was a simon on this coin or these coins, because they were tied together in a certain way that you can identify them, that's called tsrurim, they were bunched together, is notel umachriz, then he has to make a hachroza. And the Gemara starts with a statement of Rabbi Lazar, which Amir Tzashem, we don't have time now, we'll pick up in the next shiur, which will be mostly focused on Daf Chav Zayin.